This is RSBNB Update, episode 283, recorded Friday, November 19th, 2010. Scary fireworks. Hello, everybody. Welcome to this episode of RSBNB Update. The fresh Chief Snake is here, who just got back from the provocative and maybe unacceptable Harry Potter movie for young people. So he's going to tell us about that later.
So not a good idea for me to go to.
Yeah, you know, it is rated that for a certain reason. What is it rated over there? It's PG-13.
It's M, actually, which is mature, is supposed to be 15 plus. Okay. I don't think it really deserves that. Anyway, we'll talk about this later.
Yes, we will. So, unfortunately, we don't have the farming update this week. This week was shaping up to be such a good week with all the questions you guys have sent in and the tech news and everything. It was shaping up to be such a good week. But alas,
what do we have for tech news? Like the Beatles on... No, I'm giving more away.
That didn't even make tech news.
Oh, good. In that case, I can give it away.
Yeah.
Oh, what's we got here? I haven't even looked at the notes, you see. Now that's crap, Shane.
What?
I can get you better tech news than that.
Okay, well, you can sub one of those out for yours when we get through then.
I actually can't. Never mind. So what are we starting with?
Well, they just want to say there's no update this week because they're doing some additions and tweaks that they're making to a complex update that we want to launch alongside the content update.
So that
you will miss out on any of the content updates planned for this month. You'll just have a bigger group of updates next week.
Oh, cool.
So I'm wondering what this complex update that was going to be launched with this was.
Farming. Wishful thinking, but yeah.
Yeah, wishful thinking. You know what? I'm really not sure. I think when they say complex, one has to assume game engine.
But why would they need to upgrade the game engine?
They want to bring, I'm hoping, something graphics, you know, because in the past they said they want to bring the standard detail mode, the one that can, like, not safe mode, but the one up from that to Linux and Mac eventually. So I'm hoping that will be that.
Oh, yeah, I suppose so. Well, But don't they already have that on? No. How does that even work, though? Because it's software rendered, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. But
so why can't it already be done?
The way I understand it, it's something in Java and Windows that it's just Windows specific. So they have to find a different way to do it on OS X and Windows.
Well,
but, you know,
I suppose they never actually did it with Windows before anyway, did they? So it's...
No, it was just a little add-on.
Shouldn't be surprising. Yeah.
So, anyways.
But it's not a big deal. I mean, if it doesn't run any better. I think it probably even runs worse than OpenGL and DirectX most of the time.
Yeah, it does, actually. It does. So, double updates next week. But this week, we have their new weekly poll, which is, I voted 3 times in already. How many clan chants do you visit per week?
Wow. What a question. What are the options?
0, 1, 2 to 4, 5 to 7, or 8 plus?
1.
Yeah. I said 2 because, you know, the penguin chat, if I do that, so more probably like 1.5 or something, but anyways.
I'd say 0.5 because I often forget to join RSBNB as well.
Yeah, me too, which is unfortunate. We should be shot for high treason.
That's right.
And then hung by our toenails and let people spit on us. Bonus points if anybody out there knows which former leader I'm talking about, former nation leader I'm talking about. Anyways, 31% say 2 to 4, 29% say 1, 25% say 0, 10% say 8 plus, and 3% say 5 to 7. So it would seem that most people visit in the lower end of that range, which is understandable, you know, because you have one place you go and it's hard to switch between them all, and your friends are all going to congregate in one area, if I think so, right?
Yeah, that's right.
So, not much surprise there, but...
Yeah, the 2 to 4 is probably exactly the same reasoning as you gave, so that's good.
So that's the weekly poll, which, you know, it's you can vote many times, but yeah, thank you, Jagex, for that. That being said, that's it for RuneScape updates, because there were no RuneScape updates this week.
We're on a roll.
Paul, so we're going to move straight on to questions.
We're getting through this show fast.
Ooh, yeah.
Close that tab.
Well, we got one more question than normal, but I think we'll come around to the regular time. Anyways, the first audio question this week is from Defile Odds. If it would play.
Dearest host of RSBNB, Defile Odds here as always. My question for this week is, earlier today, me and my cousin Uzzah were having a discussion on which was harder to get, the Sword of the Karassi or a Chaotic Weapon. And I thought the Sword of Karassi was harder just because of the level of skills you have to do that quest, besides actually doing the other two quests. And he thought that the Chaotic Weapon was harder to get because 80 engineering is pretty difficult. My question for you guys is, what do you think is harder to get, whether it be a Chaotic Weapon, a Karassi Sword, an AGS, anything? What do you think is the hardest weapon to get in RuneScape, whether it involve money, skilling, questing, or anything? Thanks, as always, to File Odds out.
Oh, that's a hard question to answer.
Okay, well, run us through, though. What are the requirements for the quest, for a start?
Oh, I forget. Let me look that up quickly.
Oh, useless.
Well, you know,
I expect you to know these things, right?
I don't remember quest requirements.
I'm kidding. What's the name of the quest?
I'm just trying to navigate the RuneScape website. You could probably get there by clicking on the Void Knights Part 3 banner on there, but I'm already into the quest part of the... knowledge base, so we'll just go from there. Ah, yes.
Quest
the Void
series.
Stairs Back is the quest.
The Void Stairs Back, got it.
80 magic, 78 attack, 78 strength, 71 fire making, 70 construction, crafting, smithing, 55 summoning, and 10 defense. And of course the other ones as well.
Yeah, and the Void Towns.
You know, I think the hardest one... weapon to get would be the money weapons, if you don't have that money, obviously. But from weapons that take a long time to get, just from how much you work and how much they cost, like let's say you die with them, for example, while you're PKing, I would have to go with the dungeoneering weapons on that, because you go from level 1 to 80 to get all these points to get one of the weapons. But then if you take it out PKing or you die anywhere and you lose it, that's it. You got to do that. You got to get the same amount of tokens again. So, I'm going to go with the dungeoneering weapons on that.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, it's not like anything else. You can just say if you manage to buy an Armadil Goldsword or something, you're likely going to have a lot of money to start with, and you are probably going to make a lot of money with the Armadil Goldsword, and so it won't be that difficult to get back. But yeah, I mean, with the dungeoneering weapons, you have to get right back up again. For me personally, probably the dungeoneering weapons as well, just because dungeoneering is a massive, massive effort, and I don't think I will ever train it that high.
Yeah.
Not in the near future, anyway.
I have a question about that later, actually.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry about that.
So, I think we're both set on that, but if you're poor, then yeah, definitely the God Swords or any of the other things you have to spend on. So, I think the whip is pretty affordable now. But even with that, there's no reason why you can't have a Dragon Scimitar or a Dragon Longsword, because back in 2005, that was perfectly ideal, if you remember.
Yeah, that's right.
So,
it just looks bad now. But I mean, the main idea is, and I think... Jason MRC has actually written about this in one of his Informer articles, or maybe I'm just thinking of something else, but basically you have to forget about what you're wearing for looks, because people might care about that superficially and when they see you, but apart from that, I mean, you're only training for yourself, and
functionality.
Later on, when you've got good, then you can wear all the fancy stuff and things like that. But while you're getting it, it doesn't actually matter how you do it.
Mm. Like, you see the people who wear the gilded rune armor and the yellow party hat? That's just for show. You wouldn't actually do anything practical in that.
Yeah.
So that's kind of the same thing, I think, right?
Yeah.
So.
It's like me wearing Torags. It looks hideous. I hate it, but I still wear it.
Yeah, me too. That's what I use for my combat armor as well.
I've actually been tempted to buy Bandos from time to time just for training on one Slayer task.
Oh, really? And
because I am that superficial.
You know, it would be nice to have Bandos, but...
it would.
I just am not that big of a fan of Slayer. It's too hard. Well, I mean, no. I'm not saying Slayer's hard. That's what it sounded like there. But no, Slayer's not hard. Slayer's easy. It's just combat. What I meant was it's too hard to continue on because I don't know about anybody else out there, but my luck is pretty bad with that. So.
Anyway, I think we got the message across in that question.
Yeah, we did. Thank you, Defile Odds. Next one is from a fellow named Pete Err.
Hello, darling hosts of ours B&B Update. My favorite quest is One Small Favor. I completed this quest in early 2007 when I was a wee lad. The irony in this quest had me laughing the entire time, but I've come to realize that the majority of RuneScape players dislike this quest, and I don't understand why. So here are my questions for you. Did you enjoy One Small Favor? Is there a quest that you like that many other people dislike? And is there a quest you hate that many other people seem to enjoy? I personally despise Nomad, but everyone else seems to enjoy that quest. I don't think combat should be the focal point in a quest. Which leads me to my final question. What do you think is most important in a quest? The storyline, combat, the rewards, or anything else? Thank you for playing my question on the show, and keep up the good work. Sincerely, Pete. Ha ha ha!
Wow.
Interesting.
That was a charismatic question.
You've got to go on the clip show. Okay.
Write that down.
I did. So, did you like One Small Favor?
I don't remember. I did that so long ago. Seriously, it must have been one of the first ones I did as a member, or I don't know when it was released, but yeah, it was a long time ago. But I don't remember it being that bad. Compared to some of the newer ones that they've brought out, it's probably not one of the worst ones anymore. It was probably just bad for the time.
Yeah, I'd have to agree with that.
But save me, because I'm...
Yeah. Same with you, same boat. I don't remember doing One Small Favor, like, exactly because it was so long ago, but I agree with you that there are ones that are worse than that now, but the point about One Small Favor was deliberate like that, you know, going, doing one task for all these other people that starts as One Small Favor, but,
yeah,
you know, I guess you could think that all the other quests are kind of like that because, well... I'm looking for something. It's not ethos. Some Greek word I'm looking for. I don't know what it is. But some central point of the quests always seem to be that you're running around getting items for people and whatnot, you know? And trying to just do something in regards to that. So I think that is what we expect or what comes from quests in general, which, you know, it's annoying in that. That's why I always like the diverse quests, so, yeah. Anyways.
Yep.
So, let's jump to the end of that one, and since we're kind of on the same track, what do you think's most important in a quest?
Oh, that's a very specific question. I mean, I like it to be different, I suppose, if that counts. You don't want to replay the same over and over again, obviously.
Yeah, that's right. Like, for example, one thing that jumps out in my head right there is the first Temple Knights quest. You remember when you have to solve that really, really hard puzzle?
Vaguely, yes.
In the first Temple Knights quest. That one pops out. Then I forget the name of it, but it was this other gnome one with where you get the crystal saw. Do you remember what that one was? Eyes of Glaufrey, does that sound
Yes, cool? I do remember that. Yep.
I like that one.
Yep.
For the puzzle thing. So I guess that's my answer to that question as well, because I know people didn't like Eyes of Glaufrey. So, and you know, I really don't have any quests that people tend to like that I don't like. So your turn on those two now.
Yeah, I can't really think of anything either. Actually, what I meant to say was you don't like Nomad, but I thought that not many people liked Nomad anyway from what I'd heard. I mean, I haven't done it, but because, well, I mean, it's a frustrating quest, isn't it?
Yeah, it is frustrating for what you get, you know?
On the contrary, though, even though I haven't done it, I think that there probably should be more quests that center around that. Even if they don't give you anything really substantial, it would be nice to have some boss fights that are, quest-based, really.
Yeah.
Yeah. Something a bit different just from... Because when you're doing... When you're fighting in the God Wars dungeon or something like that, King Black Dragon, you fight the same thing over and over again. You fight it multiple times. But it would be nice if they actually introduced something challenging, like Nomad, that you had to try again to get right.
Yeah. Like, are you saying as a boss or as a quest?
Yeah, as a quest.
Okay.
A boss. I don't know if it was ultra mega difficult.
But then you got the corporeal beast in that area.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's not... I wouldn't say the...
They have actually covered it pretty well.
Yeah, but, you know, there could be more in that area.
But there could be more, yes.
That's the same thing I say about dungeoneering. Why do we have all this in an instanced area when these monsters and puzzles...
That is exactly right, yes. You know? Oh my god.
That's my biggest problem with dungeoneering.
It should be so simple, but anyway. As for quests, though, back to that question, if I can think of anything off the top of my head, something that I liked. Desert Treasure?
Yeah, that one was a good one.
I found that easier than I expected. I mean, I did it really late in the game compared to other people did.
Okay.
I found that quest with
Pika, because when it first came out, I didn't have the necessary level in order to, the necessary fire making level, so I had to wait for that. Then I did it with Pika, and he died in the quest.
It's so funny to think about that. You know, now that once upon a time you actually didn't have the level for that, and now you've got 99.
But, I prefer sorry, not to speak of 99 fire making. Well, you have 99 too.
Yeah. That took me months. It took me years, I'm sure.
And you wouldn't buy my maple logs if you would have. Would have been done quicker.
Yeah, but I was poor.
I would have given them to you for a discount.
You probably would have, because it was back in the day.
Yeah, I was trying to indoctrinate you back then. But okay. I think we've once again covered this question. I think we both tend to like the quests that everybody likes for the most part, and then like a few. I know I like a few others that people don't. For instance, the Temple Knights and the very, very hard puzzle ones, which I like.
Fair enough. So. Sounds good.
That reminds me of Elemental Workshop Part 3. Where you make the body. The only...
Didn't do that.
The only annoying thing about that was... the fact that you have to go through a certain part of the puzzle again to make another body or other body equipment, which is annoying. But yeah, you should at least do part 2. Part 3 isn't really worth it.
Yeah.
Anyways, thank you, Peter. Pete. Interesting intro at saying goodbye on your question there.
Next more people should from... take leaves out of his book.
Gnome Thorian.
Dear Shane and Chief Snake, Gnome Thorian here, and I'm just apologizing about last week with my question. But anyway, I have another question this week. What do you guys do on your... What would you guys do if there was a world without internet or any electronics? And, yeah, what would you guys do? Thanks, no, I'm sorry.
Oh!
That would be painful.
Do not speak of the... Yeah, it would be painful.
Because everything
it
I do,
really would.
Even school-related, is on there.
Yeah.
I would no longer be doing computer science unless I was coming up with rebuilding computers from, like, rocks or something, which would be interesting, but...
We wouldn't have career... We wouldn't have educations. We wouldn't have careers. We would not have lives. I think it's simple to say.
Yeah, we'd have to...
So what... What would be our hobbies instead, then? I mean...
That's a very good question for hobbies. I never really thought of that. I'm assuming something math-based and to do with atmospheric science would be my alternative career choice if computers were to disappear.
Define technology. Maybe we never had the abacus. Therefore, we never... Actually, no. No, that's a bad argument. We've always had this.
I don't know. I think he was just thinking in general terms of computers and the internet.
Yeah. That's a shame. Can't do anything creative with that. I don't know what I would do. I mean, I...
You'd be a lawyer.
Hobbies. Yes, I was briefly considering that.
Or a teacher.
That was my backup plan, though. I don't think I would do that.
Yeah, I see. I don't know.
I've given up on the New Zealand education system.
Which we can talk about some other time, maybe next week.
Some other time. Write that one down as well, in case we need that. No.
Yeah, you know, it's hard to say on that kind of thing. So, but, you know, it would be hard in doing this, because everything in day-to-day life would be uprooted practically. I think people more than myself would have problems with this, because I know that I don't consider myself overly connected. I know there are people who are more connected than I am. I constantly check my phone.
Wow.
Constantly.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
Text messages.
Yeah.
Always on Facebook. Always.
We're not
really
to do that. I mean, it's a different kind of. It's a different kind of technologically minded. But I suppose a lot of people are probably like that nowadays. You know.
Yeah. You know, more than we think, because we always would think of ourselves as the ones ahead. And that kind of disappeared, I think, in 2006, when the general public started catching on to those kind of things.
Why 2006?
Well, you know, I think that's just when all the social networking stuff kind of went public, you know, like with the general public
Twitter.
Catching on to it. Yeah, Twitter, Facebook, etc.
Twitter really changed.
Yeah, it did. You remember it used to be just, what are you doing? I am eating a sandwich. I am having soup. I am playing RuneScape.
I think my first post was probably something to do with fire making.
Oh, probably. Because we didn't even have RuneWire back then.
Yeah. Wow. So,
yeah, but you know, it's become a conversation kind of thing now, and I think you could say the same thing with Facebook as well. So,
yeah. Yeah, it really has.
And then if you remove a means of conversation from people, then that's when they start going crazy. So,
yep.
That's why I say it would be hard.
God forbid actual conversation.
Well, you did back whenever that was, in May or something, in the spring or winter there, your weekend without internet food.
Right, my weekend without technology. That was hell in itself. No, it's so much more difficult than expected, though. I mean, that was like a social experiment right there. It's amazing what difference it makes. Even though I'm the kind of person who doesn't use a cell phone often, if you take that away, it suddenly removes a kind of a vital means of contact. It's a bit like a last resort to me sometimes. I mean, if I need to get in touch with someone,
yeah,
you know
me
what
too.
I mean.
Yeah, that's how I use my phone as well.
Yeah. But it's like if you don't have that when you do need it, then suddenly, yeah.
Yeah, it's just like now when you don't have the internet. Oh, how am I going to find the number to such and such a place?
I know.
I need the internet for that. Yeah, it is really.
Control F! No, my phone book does not have a search button.
Oh, yeah. When was the last time you opened a paper dictionary?
Obsolete technology. Well, we have to use French dictionaries at school, unfortunately. But
well, English.
English dictionaries, no, not in a long, long time. I was going to writing a prize-giving speech earlier, just a few weeks ago. We faced this word, and my co-host goes, "Oh, just look it up in the dictionary, Brad." No, we cannot use obsolete technology. Turn on the computer next to me. Go into Microsoft Word and use that built-in dictionary. But anyway, that was slightly off topic. What were we even talking about?
What would happen without the internet or technology?
Oh, yeah, that was very vague. But
I think we covered it. And I think most of the listeners will fall into that.
Yeah,
they either won't care, or they wouldn't be able to survive. Because I know lots of people in the younger generation like their Facebook and whatnot. Alrighty, moving on to text questions now. First one's from Optimaniac. Well, we already answered this, unfortunately, but we'll just continue on anyways. Two questions this week. First, what are your favorite two quests, Minor Desert Treasure and Dream Mentor? So, your two favorite quests.
Oh, well, we didn't exactly answer that. God. I didn't do Dream Mentor. I still need to do that sometime. Well, I mean, I suppose I could say Desert Treasure. Contact? No. Underground Pass.
Okay.
That was fun, because I failed a lot.
And that was,
so it was very frustrating.
RuneScape Classic, wasn't it?
But looking back on it, it was fun. Oh, no, not as far back as RuneScape Classic, no. I did that later on, okay. Early RuneScape 2.
And your second one?
Didn't I know you by the time I did? Or, no, but I would have been a member of RSMB. Second favorite, I have no idea.
Okay. For me, first favorite is definitely Enlightened Journey. That's the Captain Picard quest I mentioned.
Yes.
Yeah, it's a good quest.
Yes.
You get to be number one.
Yes.
And he uses the Captain Picard words like make it so and stuff. So
yes.
But everybody must do that quest.
Yes, I've done that quest.
That's good. Another one that I always suggest people do, or at least work their way up to, is what's the one? One of the elf ones.
Roving Elves, Regicide.
Yeah, Regicide, that's the one. Because it opens up that entire new area and all that other good stuff there. So, yeah, those two are my favorite two quests that
I remember
doing fondly and enjoyed. So, those ones. You know, there hasn't been a good quest like that in a long time that I can say I really, truly enjoyed that quest. You know, it always seems the quest.
I have
a
sudden urge to go back to the Elflands now. Ugh. Yuck.
What for?
I don't know. I just. Talking about those quests. Yeah. Disturbing.
Yeah, it's a nice place to be. It's a nice place to be. So. Alrighty. And the second part, will you ever do a show with all those other topics for another show? We considered this idea, actually, in December. But we came up with the idea that it would just be too hard for us to go through all these episodes because we don't take notes of when we say that's a topic for another show. So,
if anyone actually did, though,
that would be interesting. If someone did do that,
it would be interesting.
Had,
yes,
and if you had a list of anywhere between 12 and 20 topics, that's definitely a show. You need to for a full feature show, you need to have at least 12 because that's how many questions we do. So, I'd say between 12 and 20 would be ideal for that.
Yep.
So, if anybody has those, send them. We're not making any guarantees.
That's not really a big list. I mean, we've said like two things already that are going to be a topic for another show on this one. Oh, no, maybe one. No.
We did?
Anyway, we said one, didn't we?
Oh, New Zealand education, what else?
Yes. I don't know.
I don't know, there's lots, you know.
That's the topic for another show.
You could go back even to 2006 and find some, I'd imagine. But anyways, thank you, Optimaniac. Next one.
This question is from DogLover36. Dear Naked Shane and Well-Dressed Bradley, I'm not entirely sure where that comes from. Do you ever think we will discover Bilratch? That's not correct spelling. At the bottom of Demonheim, messing with the Rift.
Oh, yeah.
Also, Shane, will you ever start training Dungeoneering? I find it fun and rewards are well worth it. But what is this Bilratch?
Well, I think if I remember reading, I don't have all the Dungeoneering volumes and whatnot, but I did go and look it up at one point. And there's some whole thing about that there might be a third party involved at the bottom of Dungeoneering about what exactly is going on with this thing. And he might be behind it all, and maybe even that strange power kind of thing. So, I don't know. It would be interesting to see if they could work something like that in, but I don't think saving it to level 120 would be a good idea, because
no.
It would probably be more suited for a Dungeoneering quest. Kind of expand the story on that.
Yeah, and maybe if they actually could do a Dungeoneering quest, then that would help link it in with reality. I mean, not quite reality, but, you know, the surface world.
Yes, yeah. So, I don't know. I find the Dungeoneering lore interesting, but not enough to make me go train it. This ties into your second one. I have trained Dungeoneering. My Dungeoneering level is around 65 or so. So, yes, I have trained Dungeoneering. I have not started training Dungeoneering, so.
I did a night of it a while back.
Was that when I came
I didn't
with
get
you?
Very far. May have been.
I think I came with you one time.
Yeah. It didn't last very long, though.
No, it didn't. Because that one guy kept running into the boss room.
That so was not me.
No, it wasn't you. It was one of the other two.
Bet it was Neil.
Yeah, probably.
Good old Neil.
He doesn't listen to this, does he?
No, he doesn't, but Leighton does. So Leighton will find it amusing.
Hi.
Or he does sometimes, I think. Anyway.
Thank you, DogLover36. Maybe I should say why I don't train Dungeoneering actively.
Why don't you train Dungeoneering actively?
Well, it's to get the best XP, you need to go with a group, and quite frankly, I don't have faith in the RuneScape population in general, and I don't find it useful to train. I don't find it useful to train the skill that can't be used outside of Daemonheim. It's the kind of thing I would do if there was nothing else to do, and hence why it kind of feels like a mini game to me. So, thank you for that question, DogLover36. Hosts, on your advent... Oh, you can read this one. I read the last one.
No, you didn't. What?
I didn't?
Hosts, on your adventurer's log, there is a counter that shows your time played. What are your total play times? Keep up the great show, Pilot Hit.
Yeah, I could tell you this, but right now the RuneScape adventurer's log thing is not... It's timing out at services.runescape.com.
How convenient.
Yeah.
Oh, look at that. So is mine. Oh, no.
We're serious on this.
It actually is, though.
Out.
No, I can't get to it. Yeah, that's right. From memory, though?
I know it's over 211 days.
That's higher than mine, I think. What did I have last? I think it was under 200.
Yeah, it was.
But it was still a disturbing number. When I do say under 200, I mean very near 200.
I think it was in the 140s or something, wasn't it?
Yeah, it's not. No, I think it was more like 190.
Oh, yes, right. You and someone tied. You had the same amount of days played.
Probably
when I first
you.
Came out.
Did
yeah,
you just hear
right.
that gunshot? And that one?
Yeah.
It's not a gunshot, it's fireworks, but.
Oh, okay.
Just wanted to scare you.
Yeah, it didn't sound like a gunshot.
Damn it.
So what are the fireworks coming from?
Neighbors.
Oh, have fun.
Yes.
Alrighty. So mine's over 211 and yours is somewhere under 200, close to 200.
Yes.
Oh, it's working now. It's working now.
Oh, damn
never
it.
Mind. False alarm.
Oh, okay, because I just closed it. Anyway,
it's
we
being
will
very
let you know.
At this time, I'll make a note to gather these to put them in the notes. Wow. Sounds like they're having a big party there.
They're really going off out there.
What color are they?
Oh, poor Pippa. He's scratching at my door now.
Uh-huh.
He doesn't like the fireworks.
Yeah, probably is scared about that.
It's okay. Not going to make it any better.
It's probably worse in there, isn't it? Oh, you went to go grab him.
My bad. That was just unplugging the mic accidentally.
Oh, okay. I thought you went to go grab him or something.
Well, I did. I unplugged the mic accidentally.
Oh, okay. Alrighty.
It was meant to reach, but apparently the cord is not that long.
Okay, then. I think we're done with that one. Thank you, Pilot Head.
Thank you, Pilot Head.
Question from New Hero Now. Hey, last week you guys talked about the ClearChat headphones. I own the same but wireless version, but found the sound quality okay, but not the best, like you guys said. Also, so I bought the G930, and I find them to be the best headphones I ever bought. That's good to know, I guess, if you're interested in a upline of the basics. So the G930s, I assume from Logitech.
Yeah, my friend has this, actually, except he has the wired version, and apparently it is very good.
Is that the one that can do the squirrel sound effect?
Yes.
Okay. So he says he has a nice PC setup and he's looking for a computer chair with speakers on it, and price is not a problem, but size is. He gives a link of one that is too big for the apartment. I've been looking for somewhere to find something like this, but I haven't any luck. Have you got any ideas?
Not off the top of my head. No, I cannot say I do.
Yeah, you know, I have to agree with this. I wouldn't even consider something like this, and I'm not even sure where you would go and find such a thing, to find such a chair that would have speakers built in, you know. So I'm sorry, but we can't help you with that. But you know, I don't know, that does seem kind of over the top, doesn't it?
Yeah, that's right. I mean, you'd be sitting in a chair. How often would you get up during the day? I mean, as it is, I barely move from my own chair, but I am able to sort of, you know, move it around and, you know, assume the weirdest of postures. Keep the blood flowing, exactly. I mean, my chair has this interesting, annoying feature where you can do that if you just heard it, and it unlocks it so you can move it around just by moving. So, you know, shut up, people next door. So it moves with your body, basically. And that, you know, tones my abs while I'm just typing and things like that. That's how I keep in shape. That's a true story.
So you basically rely
on basically,
your chair to...
Yeah, exactly, because I don't get any other exercise, you see. And
so
yeah.
You rely on...
So what I'm saying is, if you actually had this thing that you want to buy, I don't see... I mean, it would be epic, I will admit that. But I don't think it's really the most appropriate kind of workstation.
Yeah, I think it would be good for gaming and maybe a kind of a car gaming kind of situation, something like that. Or some kind of shooter gaming thing, but I don't think it would be good for day-to-day computing. So, anyways.
But to each their own.
So, how often do you use that, then, in your chair?
Oh, virtually never. It's just nice for entertainment from time to time.
Yeah.
Hey, look what my chair can do. Or when someone else is in it, you flick the lever and they go boom. And yeah.
Yeah, my chair goes down by itself sometimes.
I don't think that's the same thing, but
no, it gives you quite the shock. You know, you're sitting and then you a few centimeters lower, and you know, you just feel a drop and you go down. So, yeah, that's the entertainment my chair gives me. But I also have an unlocking thing where if I unlock it and I lean back, it will allow me to lean back pretty far, and I don't know what the limit of that is. I've never tried it, so. But, you know, there are stories that if you use a chair that uses one of those kind of compressor things to keep it up, that if those are faulty, it can explode. And there was a story once, I forget what website it was on, but somebody ended up going into the hospital to have a surgery, a rectal surgery, to remove shards of shrapnel from their chair. So let's just say that you want to have a decent chair that's reliable.
Yeah, I heard about that a while ago, but I always thought it was a hoax because I'd never heard about anything like that happening before.
Yeah, so anyways, that's enough for chairs this week, chairs and whatnot. So what do you think Jagex will mess up next?
I don't know. There is really any number of things that could be messed up, Shane. We never can tell with Jagex, can we? It depends. What is the thing that they are releasing next? I think that is the question.
The farming thing and the hunter thing, along with the monkey quest.
They're going to mess up the farming hunter thing.
Oh, probably. You know, it's probably going to be...
Oh, God, I'm closing that window. I mean, it's a very warm night, but I can... don't need that kind of noise at the moment.
Is it some special occasion? Or...
No, I don't think so.
Wow. Okie dokie, then. Yeah, the farming thing, that could be it. But, you know, I don't think they ever try to mess things up. It just happens that way, you know? So...
Oh, yeah, they would never try, but obviously. Anyway.
Yeah, but thank you, new hero. Next one.
Dear the eye-pleasing and suave Shane and the despicable malevolent Bradley, Shane, would you give up computer programming for the girl of your dreams?
Given that that is the thing that I'm assuming you're going to extend programming to in general, I would have to say no on that.
But hypothetically, the girl of your dreams, as in never have another chance like this in your lifetime.
I think that would require some more thought then. But, you know, I guess computer programming depends whether it's computer programming or in general, what I do, computer science, because I really do not like programming. So I took that from a computer science standpoint. If it was programming, then yeah, I'd be happy not to code again, but I find it therapeutic sometimes to do so.
Sometimes, yes. That's right.
So.
Oh, well, that's a good answer. Both hosts, would you survive 3 days handcuffed to each other? Well, I could recommend you an interesting video on that topic.
Are you thinking the same one I'm thinking?
Probably, yes.
Well, you
but
can,
that's a topic for another show.
Yeah, well, you can put the link in the notes.
I could do that. As long as there's nothing incriminating therein, I don't think much of it relates to me. That's fine.
Yeah, link will
do you think
potentially
we would
be in the notes there, I think.
Yes.
So basically, the story of the movie was, what? Was it two or 3 days, two people chained together? Same thing, right?
Yes. By a piece of string.
Oh, a string.
I think it was, yes.
So would you?
I don't think you would survive. And obviously,
why?
If you wouldn't survive, then I would survive. Well, you would have to sleep together.
Yeah, that would be a problem.
Yes.
That would be a problem. You willing to go 3 days without sleep?
Without sleep? Okay. I can probably do that.
Yeah, I don't think I'd sleep with you for that.
Let's do it over the 24 period, you know, the 24 marathon.
That would be interesting.
Then we can, like, break two records in one go.
I wonder what the record is for two people staying chained together like that for.
Without sleep.
Yeah, I think I could do it aside from the sleeping component, and the string would have to be long enough to allow one person to stay out of the bathroom while the other person is in the bathroom.
Yeah, I was just thinking that would be very boring as well, though, waiting for someone else in the bathroom. At least I'm not a girl, though. Because they take forever. Although I have very long showers, I'd be surprised if any girl beat that.
That's not very long, is it?
Yeah, it's pretty long. Can't argue with that.
Yeah, so I guess, yeah, if those certain conditions were met, so. What do you say, yes?
If could be a possibility, yes.
What if those conditions weren't met?
Oh, no. I mean, yes, it would be a possibility. If those conditions were not met, then I think we could do it, potentially, if forced to.
It'd be interesting.
Jesus Christ, that really does not help at all, does it, that window? I mean, I opened the other one, but it would be interesting, yes. We should do that as an experiment when we meet each other. Please don't hold me to that. Bradley, have you noticed I always insult you with my intro? Don't take it personally. I just know that you can take it. Stay frosty, Steamo. Well, that makes me feel a whole lot better. No, I actually hadn't really noticed. Thank you for pointing it out.
Yeah, I don't see how anybody could insult you with that. I don't think you've ever pissed anyone off, really.
I hope not. Well, apart from trolls. Probably pissed them off from time to time. But otherwise, I tend to be quite an agreeable person.
Yes. Anyways, thank you, Lord Steemo. Next one is from Knack. Dear hosts, first on an odd note, do you have any quirks or habits that are odd? And on a serious note, how do you think Brad is doing in the RAF? Sincerely, from Knack. Odd quirks or habits? They're odd.
Oh, I meant to think of stuff, but again, I forgot. What do I do that irks you?
Well, I don't know. Well, no, it's not a quirk or a habit. I think quirks or habits are things you have to witness, you know?
Oh, okay.
So, I don't think we're fit to answer this for each other in that way, but
I think both of us use way too many emoticons on MSN.
Yeah.
Way too many. That I mean, I start talking to someone else and they go, "What? Stop using that face and stop using this." But yeah, I really do have to tone it down.
You know, we could do that by just using Google Talk or Google Voice or whatever it is.
It's so difficult to express yourself.
Yeah, like
using text without sounding like a pompous person.
I know our conversations, the little emotes in the conversation have a meaning. That meaning is defined over time. And the same thing I talk to Mike, the same, they have this same kind of meaning in those emotes there too. So, yeah.
I think that one emoticon I exclusively use with you. I never use that with anyone else, and yet it comes up almost every few lines in our conversation.
Yeah, that one. Okay, that could be one. I can't think of anything else, though.
No, not really. Quirks or habits? I like cleaning. Could you call that an odd habit?
No, I don't think so.
I like cleaning, but I don't do it very often. Mainly because I don't have enough time. My room at the moment is a total sty.
What? You were just cleaning 2 days ago.
I told you. Yeah, it's really bad. My wardrobe is beautiful, but everything else is a bit...
And for tell everybody, for the, tell the Americans what a wardrobe is.
Cupboard where I store my clothes.
Okay. All right. I just had to check that out there. Alrighty. And Brad in the RAF, if you will go back to June, you will listen to the episode in which Brad was on the show, and you will discover that he stepped out of the RAF because he had a family tragedy that he had to deal with. So if you go back to June and listen to the show he was on, you'll pretty much get an update from him. So I actually talked to him today, actually.
So he's doing well, isn't he?
Today. Yeah, he is. He is. He is. He, ironically, is doing something that he wouldn't have been doing if he was in the RAF. So it's kind of interesting how things like that work out. So, yeah. He's good, though.
He probably couldn't have done that much if he was in the RAF. Because, I mean, that was pretty restricting, wasn't it?
Or... Yeah, it would have been. So
anyway.
Alrighty.
Lemur ninjas.
Hola, senors.
Oh, thank God you got the voice to do that. I also meant to find someone who could translate this for me and teach me how to say it properly. I have a few Spanish friends, but... Ferret ninjas... Oh, dear God.
pretend it's French.
Ferret ninjas... Aquí yo tengo do pregunta... No, that is so not a Spanish accent.
Yeah, that sounded French, but not...
you told me to pretend it was French. The error that I get on my iTunes says the application or DLL, C, program files, common files, Apple application support, core graphics.dll, is not a valid Windows image. Please check this against your installation diskette. That's the first window that shows up. The second one is error 7, Windows error 193. What do I do to fix this? I think we will talk about that later. Number two, I was talking with my brother on his blog or something, and he said that I should get a Zune. I googled Zune and saw a bunch of different ones and found a Zune Touch. Basically, I'm asking if you know if it can play games or just music and how much it would cost because I couldn't find one. Gracias, Ferret Ninjas. Gracias.
Okay.
No,
first
so
off, there's no fixing Air 7 Windows Air 193. That's just going to be impossible to fix something like that. So
reformat.
Well, no, I wouldn't go that far.
Use a different program.
Yeah, that's one option.
I mean, if you get a Zune, you're not going to be using iTunes anyway, are you?
Yeah, that's a very good point. But if you don't,
would we
get
recommend
the Zune?
Yeah,
I would just reinstall iTunes to try and fix that one, you know, because it sounds, because what Core Graphics is it's Apple's
such
display
shame.
Mechanism. I'm assuming they ported a subset of Core Graphics to Windows to implement iTunes, but a complete uninstall, including wiping the preferences of iTunes, should fix that. It should, if you've not already done that. But anyways, yeah, you're not going to be using that if you get a Zune, and I would not get a Zune.
No, I mean, I don't think they exist in New Zealand.
Oh, really?
I've never ever seen one before, and I haven't.
I've
seen
one in the wild. I've seen one Zune in the wild. That's it. Just one.
Do my window just open itself? No. You've seen one. Well.
Yeah, just one Zune. So
there you go.
You know,
although some people, I mean, who have them like them, from what I've heard.
Yeah, but... you know, there are people, I think everybody who likes them has them. And I've not heard anything of a Zune Touch. You know, there's the Zune HD, which is the newest one. For example, the Zune HD 32GB at Best Buy US is $229 new or $179.99 refurbished. And You know, it comes down to a matter of preference, really. If you like the Microsoft experience in Zune, and you don't want the App Store, then get a Zune. But I personally would not get a Zune. I'd just go with the iPod Touch, I think, at this stage.
Yeah, that's right.
You're getting so much more than a music player. You're basically getting an iPhone without a contract. So you get the camera, you get the hardware.
My brother, he keeps showing things off to me, the things that he can do on his iPod Touch.
Oh, yeah,
The other day he called me into his room. Hey, look, I can control my computer with my iPod Touch. He's got like this VLC application on it. And for my brother to be doing something like that is very impressive.
You mean VNC or something?
Oh, VNC, yes, sorry.
Yeah, did he jailbreak it?
No, not to my knowledge.
So he bought the VLC
application. The person at the store, I actually know the person who sold it to us. He used to be a friend of mine at school. He's very funny sometimes, but he knows what he's talking about, and he recommended that we should jailbreak it.
No.
You know, the guy in the store telling us to do that. But anyway, go on.
Well, you were saying you can do so many things with it. It's not just a music player. It's pretty much anything in the App Store you can do, you know?
Yeah.
Like, iOS is iOS, whichever way you put it.
And I haven't really seen any reason to jailbreak it yet myself.
Yeah,
apart from the first thing he showed us was the fact that jailbreaking it gives it another row on the application's dashboard or whatever you call it for that.
Oh, who really...
I know, but... Yeah.
Yeah, you know, it's, I don't know, I quite like iOS, so that's why I'd recommend the iPod. But what else did he show you?
Something illegal.
Okay.
I don't remember. He said, hey, look at this app. Oh, wait, I don't show that to anyone else in the store.
I thought this was just your brother that was showing you this.
Oh, no. No, my brother's good from what I've seen. He also showed me this thing that, He can use the iPod as a webcam, networked through MSN on the computer. Ooh. I thought that was impressive.
How's the frame rates through Wi-Fi?
I don't know. I never actually saw it, but
okay,
it sounded good. I was using Linux at the time. So...
there's two examples of why you might want iOS, and it really is in the applications. So. I know my favorite thing on iOS recently has been Angry Birds, which both are complete.
What is that sound?
That's Angry Birds.
Turn it off. No. To be honest, I am actually being slowly converted into I don't know. It's sometimes I think I'm being slowly sucked into the Mac world, and then other times I hear about iTunes doing these stupid things, and I just go, get out.
It's just on Windows. It's fine on Mac.
But yeah, that's probably right.
Yeah, so
I may have been spoiled by the media players of Ubuntu, of Linux, and there's so much variety in certain... certain applications on Windows, there are so many different applications for doing the same thing, and you're spoiled for choice a lot of the time. But,
Yeah, so we're going to recommend the iPod. Sorry about that little digression there.
Wow, that was good.
Yeah, see if you can get that. It won't work on the iPad, but find out what desktop control thing he's using. I know I've used TeamViewer before. I showed you that one.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, so,
next question.
So many things on that. This is the last question from Murder, Inc. Alrighty. Oh, this is a good one. Dear host, what do you think of GeoHot jailbreaking iOS 4.1? And what do you think about the iPhone dev team having a 4.2 unlock? With more and more hardware unlocked iPhones, do you think that software unlocking has become obsolete? I personally like the jailbreak community, minus the piracy. Please share your thoughts. Thank you, Birder Inc. Okay. You know, that's a perfectly good point about even in the U.S., because their iPhones are not unlocked in the U.S. They're locked to AT&T.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas here in Canada, I think you can buy an iPhone and use it on either Rogers, Telus, or Bell. So it's not as bad as the U.S., but we do have more choice. And the best choice comes, of course, in Europe, where pretty much the iPhone will be unlocked, I think. So I know some EU country mandated that the iPhone have to be sold unlocked there. So
yeah, that's true. I mean, from what I know, I mean, anything sold in New Zealand is unlocked. I didn't think that.
That's the problem. Like, our cell networks here in the ending the U.S. are just kind of really monopolistic, so...
I could be wrong, but I'm just... Yeah.
I don't know. Be hard to tell. But you switched easily cell phone providers, so your phone must be unlocked.
Oh, yeah. That was... I mean, this phone is ancient, though, and this was back in the day when you could not switch providers at all, because the only other cell phone network that existed, Telecom, did not use SIM cards, and so it was impossible to swap them over.
Okay.
Sigh. But now, I mean, you can basically swap any network, I think.
Yeah, that's good. That's the way it should be.
It is, yeah.
Sadly, it's not in the U.S., but, you know, I think that there's going to be a difference between a hardware unlock and a software unlock, because if... It makes sense that the developers of the iPhones would have a hardware unlocked phone because they need its unchained capabilities. But in reality, an end user does not need that from the perspective of a telecom agency. So that's why that's the case. But, you know, as for jailbreaking, I wouldn't. I don't think that's a decent thing to do because... For me personally, when I buy a piece of hardware, I buy the piece of hardware to do what it's designed to do and get the experience as advertised, you know, right?
Yeah.
That's my methodology of thinking with iOS and that. So, what about you?
But I'm tempted to put Linux on my MacBook Pro if I ever get it.
Oh, then what's the point of getting one of those?
No, I don't know. I totally understand what you mean. Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, so, you know, it's really a personal opinion, and I've
well, that is the whole Apple experience. I mean,
yeah,
that's
true, and that's why I say
they do. They design software for hardware that they know will work, and
that's why you get a Mac that works as advertised,
and
the Macintosh are going to have problems.
Yep.
So, you know, you just want to go with the real thing for me. That's why I removed the Hackintosh drive from my computer, because it was interfering with my Windows backup, and I wasn't using it, because I like the reliability of having a computer I know will work. So, that's that on that, I think.
I so need to get a Mac, yeah.
Oh, I'm still waiting for iOS 4.2 for iPad. It makes things so much easier. But anyways, okay. That's it for the questions this week. We're going to just say that if you want to send us an audio question, they can go to questions@rsbnb.com, or you can leave us a voicemail at
537.
No.
Crap.
571-57-BNB.
You had a 7 in it.
571-572-2632. Chief, you should write that down.
571-57-BNB.
BNB.
2632?
571-572-2632.
All right, there's another 2 in there. I can do it. I'm going to remember it next week.
Good. Now, that did sound like a gunshot.
Yeah, my ears are shot now. Nah, there's no way I can remember it anymore.
Alrighty, moving on to tech news this week. This was a kind of a questionable announcement when it came out, but Facebook has released, or is going to be rolling out, a messaging system that they're calling a modern messaging system, which is, in essence, going to bridge the gap between email, SMS, and other messaging services. With, of course, Facebook being the hub. And you will get @facebook.com email addresses.
Boo.
Okay, you're not
excited. Who would use them, though? I mean, Who wants to be seen with a bad face? Although we say that now, today's generation
would be the cool thing to have. Like,
probably.
But you and I don't use Facebook, so we're not we don't have our chat contacts on there. I know, for instance, that chat is perfectly doable on Facebook, as if you were there. And I even think you can use your MSN account.
Really?
Facebook. I think so.
Oh. Why would you want to do that? You know, Pigeon has a Facebook option.
Yeah, that probably wires into Facebook and Facebook chat.
Don't know why anyone would use that, though.
Yeah, see, that's the thing. We don't use Facebook, so we don't know. But I think, you know, it is slightly concerning, given Facebook's past privacy issues, you know?
Yeah.
But really, if you're going to be discussing something that critical, you should be discussing it in person. I think, at least.
I suppose so.
If you're really concerned about that. But anyways, it's going to be rolled out slowly over the next few months. And according to Mark Zuckerberg, CEO of Facebook, as we all know, he asked a number of scholars on the East Coast what email client they used, and he said they occasionally used Gmail or Yahoo Mail, but typically used SMS or Facebook.
I don't think SMS counts as an email client. Just be me.
140 characters? But then again, weren't we talking about that the other day? How you were saying you didn't understand how people can use text messaging for their main form of communication?
I plug my phone into the computer and use my keyboard as a means to type text messages.
See, that's what I would do too, because it just seems so archaic on if you don't have a smartphone and a smartphone keyboard to be using a feature phone to type out text messages.
I mean, I'm all right at texting using the keypad, but seriously, it does not compare in the slightest.
And it's not even real time.
Yeah, it's very slow.
I know. Isn't there a chance that a text message could be dropped or something?
There is very much a chance here in New Zealand. I don't know about elsewhere. But
so,
stop it!
Then his response was, but the kid said it's too slow. It's too formal. Email and SMS. What? I don't get that.
I think they
SMS?
Yeah, they probably were referring to actual email in that case. But typically using SMS or Facebook is separate to the using email part. Yeah, so they're saying they prefer SMS and Facebook over using Gmail and Yahoo Mail.
Because
email is
just
slow and too formal. I'm half asleep. I can see what they mean, but it doesn't have to be that way. I mean, it might feel like that, but
it could just be that we're both missing out on the Facebook experience, and this is the greatest thing since sliced bread.
Yeah, could be that.
Anyways,
one day.
Moving on. Yeah,
clues really, suggest Stuxnet virus was built for subtle nuclear sabotage.
So for anybody who doesn't know, Stuxnet was this worm that propagated through the internet and appeared to be attacking Iran and their nuclear centrifuges, which the centrifuges enrich uranium to either be used for fuel or medical or nuclear weapons. But basically, evidence was found that this worm was targeting the control systems, and code hints show that it was designed to sabotage nuclear plants subtly, in that it would briefly speed up and slow down the machinery, i.e. the centrifuges. Because if you do that, it's as though you don't have the right kind of spin factor, RPM, so that causes a problem in the enrichment process. It's much like if you're making a cake, for example, and you don't mix at the right speed, you're going to have problems later on. That's the best analogy of how to think of this. So,
okay.
Basically, it indicates that Stuxnet's creators wanted to get on the system and not be discovered and stay there for a long time and change the process subtly but not break it, says Liam O. Mershu, researcher at Symantec. So, and they published a paper on this, so if you guys are interested, you guys can go read this, but definitely interesting. Then the question comes up, of course, who would do such a thing like this? Is it government sponsored? Maybe not.
That is very, yeah, interesting.
Yeah, you know, it brings up a whole question. Is the government involved in this? Or which government would want to do this? And what would be
if they were, would you support it, Shane?
You know, I think that it, at the end of the day, if it works in preventing a nuclear Iran, that's good, actually. But if it didn't work, you basically put your neck on the line for nothing and could have ordered the airstrikes by then. So, let's stick with that.
Okay.
This next one is something you're also interested in. Intel has confirmed that Sandy Bridge will be launching at CES.
Yay! Intel tonight sent out an invitation confirming that it would launch its Sandy Bridge processors at its CES keynote on January 5th.
Yes. So basically, Sandy Bridge is the next iteration of microchips from Intel. So the last architecture was called Nehalem. This one is Sandy Bridge. So it's a slightly different architecture, but it maintains most of the things the same. There's a list, if you go to the Sandy Bridge website on Wikipedia, of the changes if you're interested in that kind of thing. But the point about this is it will deliver more performance than we currently have with the current batch of Nehalem-based Intel processors, which is the code name for the i5 and i7 and i3 chips we have right now. So. Yeah. And these will, of course, ship out as 32-nanometer fabrication. And then in a year or so, in 2011, they'll be shrunk down to 22-nanometer, where we will get the same performance for less power and less heat. And that is called the TikTok model.
One of these will be the world's fastest processor, the invite said.
Yeah, that is true. I think that eventually, when they get down to the 22-nanometer stage in 2011, they plan to have an 8-core Sandy Bridge chip. And then, of course, as you go on, you just go further up the line and make dual-core obsolete and have the standard be quad-core. So, definitely interesting things to come in this. But perhaps the most interesting thing about this is that the benchmarks for the integrated graphics component on the chip have said that they are actually usable when you compare them with an AMD or NVIDIA-based graphics card. So,
but what kind of AMD or NVIDIA?
Yeah, exactly.
Well, no, it's a start.
You're always going to have better luck if you have a standalone graphics card to do something like that. But for basic computers, that's good, because our operating systems now need graphics cards to do basic things like display windows and whatnot. So,
yep. It's always an advancement.
Yeah, we're always happy about new microchips.
Oh, yes, we are.
Alrighty. So that's it for tech news. Moving on towards Skill of the Month. It is November still, and JRD Games is winning with
Got him. 27
million. 5 million XP. Wow. I think the gap has increased since last week between Flash and him. With gap is now about 12 million XP. And third is Tim, MLI699, with 9.7 million XP. So.
But good on them for putting up the fight.
Has this one in the bag. Yeah, you know, even though you're not going to win, there's still incentive to train in this and get XP because, you know, it all goes towards skill of the year at the end. So, you know, you might as well get some XP.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it's cooking. Yeah.
Yeah, it's cooking.
Probably one of the easiest. Actually, that's probably like the most XP in the year already in 1 month.
Yeah, I think so.
Not to deter anyone, but... So JRD Games... Sorry?
JRD Games gained 31 million cooking XP in January.
What? Oh, that's ridiculous. So JRD Games now has 137.4 million XP in total, and that puts him at rank 232.
Oh my. Yeah, you know what? I guess that's fine if you like cooking. Like, that's perfectly fine if you like the skill. Go for it.
If you like cooking, yes. More power to you.
Congratulations on that. And by next week, yeah,
I think we can safely say congratulations.
Yeah, well, you never know, right? You never know.
No, I'm being serious, though. We do know.
Well, you never know. I'm just saying you never know. Someone could know life completely and...
Oh, someone prove us wrong. Someone prove me wrong.
Anyways, moving on.
Achievements of the week! Who has been special this week?
Want to alternate on these?
Okay, first of all, we have on the 14th of November, Black Knight with 13 in place of the B got 99 cooking! Yes!
Cooking comes up once again.
Oh, is he in the competition?
I don't know.
I just closed it.
Oh, well.
I'll assume yes.
Next is a div with 95 agility on November 16th.
That's a good skill.
Yeah,
Uncle Dano.
You quit.
Shush. Maybe. Hey, Ediv used to... That used to be one of the only skills that I was higher than a div in. Than Ediv in. And now it's really depressing that he's got much higher than me. Because I got it all the way up to 90, and then now he's going getting 99. Anyway, congratulations, Ediv. Uncle Dano got 95 construction on November the 16th as well. Woo! That's also very high.
Next up, Gotham with 97 crafting on the
16th. That's a cool name, Gotham. And
finally,
Jekyll got 99 mining on November the 18th.
So congratulations, everyone.
That is a very high level for mining.
Yeah, 99 mining.
Do you want to do my pick for me?
No, you can do it.
I don't feel like explaining it, though, because I haven't looked at it since last week, and I've forgotten what it is.
Well, it requires HTML5, so you guys need Safari or Google Chrome.
Or Firefox.
Oh, but yeah, I found it laggy in Firefox.
Oh, it works fine for me.
Okay, well, explain it then.
I'm pretty sure it doesn't lag anyway. Basically, what it is a heat map of Twitter, of tweets. It's called A World of Tweets, and it is a real-time representation of... what was that? It is a real-time representation of the tweets that people are making all around the world, and so it's basically got a map, and it shows you where the hotspots are, literally. And
I'm just finding my 3D glasses because it has a 3D stereo view.
Oh, okay. And yes, there are heaps of interesting features. You can look at it as a heat map or as a smoky view. In satellite or as a map, you can show or hide labels and look at it in 3D stereo view, as Shane suggested.
Yeah, so that's what I'm doing right now. So,
which I don't own. I don't have 3D glasses to present.
No, they're just the paper blue and red ones, you know?
Oh, okay. Well, I don't even have those, though.
Okay.
But anyway, it's very cool, especially as an internet application, because it doesn't use Flash or anything.
Yeah, it's and
JavaScript.
Yeah, it's good for the future, you know, because if you don't rely on Flash, you don't have the problems of security and whatnot, you know? So,
and Flash just has this thing about it, you know, it looks...
Like eating up CPU power.
Tacky. And yes, exactly. But it looks tacky, whereas this looks professional, it looks perfect.
It's a beautiful web application. I love it.
The only thing I wish is if they would have let like you drill down into like a specific country or something, you know? Because I think that would be a lot more interesting. But
I suppose it is more of a proof of concept kind of thing, though. And
yeah, and you know, only advertisers are allowed to access what's called the fire hose from Twitter, and you know that'd be a lot more interesting to see all the tweets coming in, but this is only a limited selection. So
I did wonder how they did that as well.
The 3D view is not that spectacular. The only thing it does is it like puts the names of the countries above the map and everything. So
have you seen the version of Google Chrome that's in 3D? What it was.
Yes, I have. I have on April Fool's, and I actually got my 3D glasses out.
Sadly, I didn't have any at the time, so I never really got to experience it, but I did see it. That was entertaining.
Yeah, so that is a worldoftweets.frogdesign.com.
That will be in our notes.
Yes. And you can switch to satellite view, too, instead of map view, so.
Yep.
Strangely, most of the tweets are in Indonesia for some reason. In Europe.
I was thinking that myself as well.
Anyways, I think that'll be that then, unless you have anything else you want to say about it.
Do that many people really tweet from Indonesia? But
I
don't.
I forget what the numbers are, but there's lots of tweets that go on per second.
Yeah, there will be.
Alrighty. So what have you been up to? Let's start with what you just came from today.
Well, today I had an exam to begin with. I'd almost forgotten about that so long ago. It was a very boring 3-hour English exam. Ugh. I did not enjoy it. So that's 3 exams down so far, 3 to go. And I've done my 2 English exams, which were the more difficult. And actually, I didn't really care about either of them that much, but whereas the ones that are to come are much more important, the 3 more important ones, yet the 3 easy... Shut up! The 3 easier ones. So, anyway,
okay.
I survived.
That's good. Did you read any interesting stories today?
Yes. Not any stories in particular. I got an email, though.
Oh, okay. I meant on the exam.
Oh, no. No, there wasn't anything interesting there.
Okay.
No, I'm not getting my emails. And yeah, I came back here and then got dragged along to a Harry Potter movie. To the Harry Potter movie. And it was better than I expected. I forgot if I already mentioned
that. Okay, that's good. And was it safe for younger people?
Yes. I'd seen this thing on the forums about a certain scene within the movie, and I assume you saw it as well, about topless makeup. I've still got the tab open. Topless makeout scene in Harry Potter 7. Apparently, Hermione and Harry make out in the 7th movie, which is fine. They're supposed to. Blah, 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 blah. The thing that kind of makes me angry is that Hermione is topless in a strapless bra, but she appears topless kissing Harry. It's actually a very anticlimactic point in the movie because I was expecting it to be a lot more given certain people's outrage in this topic. But it just goes on while I'm speaking. it's not a big thing. It's a very quick part of the movie and it was over before I knew it, unfortunately.
Unfortunately. That's funny.
Yeah, I stopped speaking and then the fireworks stopped. God damn. Yeah.
Okay. Anything else you want to share?
No, that's been me. I've just been doing exams and studying. Next one is Thursday, so I've got pretty much a week in between.
Yay!
Exactly.
Okay. As for me, I finished JPEG encoding, which is good. I got majority of it done. Aside from that, I start on the next part, which is some user interface mock-ups for the next thing, which
they're always fun.
It's currently at the wireframe stage, so I got to figure out how I can make Java look decent because we're using Java.
Good luck.
Yeah, I know. So that'll be interesting. I wish we were using HTML5 for this.
Yeah.
That would be a lot more interesting. Maybe it's not too late to change. It's a good idea. Research that. Anyways, aside from that, I attempted to start farming again, but I didn't get very far. And I attempted to go hunting, and I didn't get very far. And I attempted to go mining, and I didn't get very far either. So, that's my week on RuneScape.
Good for you, good for you. I think I logged in once or twice. I did two farming runs this week.
Oh, good.
Wow.
That's better than I did.
Not farming runs. I did two fruit tree runs.
That's better than me.
Whoa.
So anyways, that's pretty much all I got on this. So the snow is here now, too. So
yay.
It's cold down here. Anyways, I think that's it for today, unless you have anything else.
No, that's it for this week.
Alrighty then. It's been RSPNB Update 283 with lots of little fireworks or gunshots in the background for Chief.
Yeah, we should listen to this back and do a tally. See how many we can pick up.
I don't think I'm going to be editing that much in it. I would if I was. So. Anyways, with that being said, we'll see you guys all next week. Goodbye, everyone.
See you later. We'll be right back.